Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on the ESIAC report when we come back. You know, the income tax and Social Security programs are not compatible with our traditional American values. These two programs encompass the second and the eighth planks to the Communist Manifesto, which is a foreign and alien ideology. Traditional American values are individual responsibility in place of Social Security and tithing in place of the income tax. Now, these foreign and alien ideologies require of us that we violate 3 of the 10 commandments and 8 statutes of the Old Covenant. We covet our neighbor's property, and then we call that income redistribution. We steal from our neighbors with unjust weights and measures called Federal Reserve notes, and then practice idolatry by signing contracts with these foreign and alien gods that we call government. And we're not getting away with these crimes either. We're now paying up to 75% of everything we create and produce in taxes. We live in mortgaged homes owned by the savings and loan companies. We drive cars that are owned by GMAC or Ford Motor Finance. Now the average family of 4 has a $70,000 consumer debt. We owe another $8 trillion national debt, and we're surety for another $44 trillion of unfunded government obligations. Our financial institutions are leveraged out to $60 trillion worldwide. And our Social Security retirement system is a chain letter Ponzi scheme. We live from paycheck to paycheck, and then we're taught to call all of this prosperity. Now, the God of Israel gave us a better way of life than that, and our founding fathers followed that better way in our Constitution. Now, if you'd like to learn more about tax and status and a better way of life, why don't you call and ask for my 4-hour compact disc package? It's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative, and best of all, it's free. And you can call right now to order yours. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. If you're online, go to the website georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email request. Again, that's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. We have been reporting on the ESIAC report, Unknown Cancer Remedy. It's Canada's remarkable unknown cancer remedy from the Ojibwa Indians discovered by Rene Cassie back in 1922. It's published by, I'll give you the name and number here, the ATIN. It's called the Alternative Treatment Information Network. They're located at 1244 Ozeta Terrace. That's 1244 Ozeta, O-Z-E-T-A Terrace, Los Angeles, California, 90069. They've got a phone number, too. It's 310-278-6611. Again, that's 310-278-6611. Now, I highly recommend it. It's a report on ESIAC. It's just one. ESIAC is just one of 10 alternative therapies to cancer. Now, there's an alternative therapy called Laetril, and there's a story called The Moss Reports. It's a different book, it's a different fellow, but following up on our last broadcast, remember last time I told you that the major medical discoveries are not made by quacks, naturopaths, chiropractors, and drug dealers on the streets. The major medical breakthroughs are almost always invariably made by medical doctors. They're made by the major cancer or the major institutes of medicine, the American Medical Association. I showed you chelation last time. But chelation is practically suppressed because of the economic consequences of chelation. It is so good and it is so cheap that the American Medical Association doesn't want it anymore. They don't want anything to do with it. It's out there. It's legal. It's lawful. There are some medical practitioners that practice chelation. But nobody in the medical community wants it because it displaces, it replaces bypass surgery. Same thing is true with cancer. Nobody wants Essiac, Laetril, or any of the other cancer treatments because they're cheap, they're inexpensive, they're effective, and it interferes with the revenue stream. That's the bottom line. Now that's called the Essiac report. I'll give you that name and number one more time before we finish. But to illustrate that point, I wanted to go over here to what's known as the Moss Report. Now, almost invariably, the people who discover these cancer treatments, like Ann Wigmore with wheatgrass, Max Gerson with the coffee enemas, Royal Rife with the Rife machine, that is the electrical... What did he call that now? Let me see if I've got a name for that. The Royal Rife machine was called a frequency generator. I don't know what a frequency generator is, but the story is that these diseases, these tumors have frequencies, and you can interrupt those frequencies and destroy the tumor and do it electrically. And then there was Rene Cassie. Each and every one of these pioneers in cancer research has been persecuted, jailed, their licenses taken from them, and they've been hounded out of the country. And it's not just those four, it's every alternative cancer therapy. Now, a fellow by the name of Moss, you know, when it comes to researching important new cancer treatments, Ralph W. Moss, write that name down, Ralph W. Moss, Ph.D., doesn't mess around. For the past 25 years, Dr. Moss has been investigating and then continually updating the latest, greatest cancer treatments from around the world for dozens upon dozens of different cancer types. He is considered the best of the best in his area of specialty, and that is researching the efficacy of cancer treatments. So if you want to know what cancer treatments are out there and what cancer treatments offer you the best results for the type of cancer that you have, this guy, Ralph Moss, is the Cadillac of the Cadillacs of cancer research. Now keep in mind that cancer isn't just one disease like getting the flu or the cold or something. It is a multifaceted disease that has literally dozens, maybe hundreds, I don't know, but dozens of different types of cancer. Some are fast growing, some are slow growing, some are benign and they're not a problem, and some of them are killers, you know, like lung cancer. And there's a plethora of new technology to deal with these. I mean, this comes from modern cancer research, right out of Sloan Kettering and right out of, you know, the NIH and out of the CDC and so on. And this guy, Moss, documents, evaluates, and then writes on these various cancer treatments, including the alternative cancer therapies. So if you want information on Moss, I'll give it to you here at the end of the article. You might want to get a copy of the Moss Report. Now, Ralph Moss is a very unusual man and with an unusual story. As a person, he is very unusual, at least in these times, in that he has a high sense of personal moral responsibility and he has been courageous in his willingness to act upon his personal sense of ethics. Just like we were looking at the high sense of moral ethics of René Cassy. As a potential consumer of Dr. Moss's cancer reports, it's important for our readers to understand his background and professional credentials. Here is his unusual story. Back in 1974, Moss accepted a position at the Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, one of the world's leading cancer treatment hospitals. Remember, that's the Sloan Kettering, that is the Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. It's in New York City, I believe. I mean, it is the Cadillac of Cadillacs of the cancer industry. At the time, back in 1974, it seemed as though it were a dream come true for Moss, who, as a youngster, idolized scientists even over his beloved Brooklyn Dodgers. He was 34 years of age, married to his high school sweetheart, with a daughter 9 and a son 7. After only 3 years at Sloan Kettering, Moss was promoted to the position of Assistant Director of Public Affairs and performed duties including writing press releases for the media about the latest cancer news, writing the in-house hospital newsletter, and fielding calls from the press and the public about issues relating to cancer. One day, while interviewing an esteemed scientist at the hospital for an upcoming newsletter, Dr. Moss stumbled upon an important bit of forgotten research. The scientist in question, Dr. Kani Matsu Sugiura, must be an Irishman, had been employed at the Sloan Kettering for so long that years earlier, when he first came to the Sloan complex, his experimental laboratory mice came from his own capture and recover efforts around the various buildings on the site. I mean, here's this Japanese scientist running around catching mice alive and bringing them in and using them for his test and for his research facility. Well, Dr. Sugiura conducted animal experiments with a substance called amygdalin, also known as Laetril. I'm going to bust in here. Remember, Laetril now is one of the 10 alternative cancer therapies. And guess where Laetril was discovered? Not in somebody's witchcraft laboratory out in Missouri. No. It was discovered in one of the most prestigious cancer research clinics in the world, by a Japanese guy. Anyway, he informed Moss that he had repeatedly observed positive results, tumor shrinkage, in treating tumors of mice with amygdalin. So in the true spirit of discovery, Moss excitedly reported Sugiura's test results to his immediate boss, the Director of Public Affairs, as well as two other of his superiors. And he told them of his plans to write an article about amygdalin and Dr. Sugiura for a future hospital newsletter. Then came the shock of Dr. Moss's naive life. He was told by his superiors in no uncertain terms that he was to terminate any further activity concerning Laetril, and then never discuss the matter again, period. They explained that Sugiura's work was invalid and meaningless. In relating the story to others, Moss explains that he saw the results of Sugiura's research himself, and that there is no doubt about the conclusion. Now, Moss knew that Sugiura was an honorable and trustworthy scientist, and it was clear that amygdalin did in fact show tumor shrinking capability. Something was up at Sloan Kettering. I'm going to pause right here. This Laetril was known as the peach pit and apricot pit stuff, you know, back in the 70s. It became pretty popular. Then it was outlawed. and then we got the news that it was full of cyanide and you people don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. I mean, this stuff's dirt cheap. I mean, you can go to the local grocery store and just buy apricots and peaches, take them home, crack them open, and eat the kernels inside. Now, there's another way to get this laetrile, and here's the way we do it here. We've got wild blackberries down in our hollow, down on the bottom. So I go down there about the 1st of July every year, and I pick about 5 to 10 gallons of blackberries. Then I bring the blackberries up. Now, what this B17 or this laetrile amygdalin is, it is the B vitamin number 17 that comes out of seeds. So we bring the blackberries in and we put them in we got a machine upstairs. What do you call that thing? It's a mixer. It's more than a mixer now. It's a thingy that chops things up. You make smoothies out of it. You ladies probably know what I'm talking about. Anyway, it breaks the seeds open is what it does. It chops it up so fine. You put these blackberries, a blender I think is what that thing is called, blender. And it chops up these seeds and it just blends them all together and it releases that B17. Now you want to do this when these berries are fresh. Fresh. And then we make these smoothies out of them and we drink them. That's the way we get our laetrile here, our B17. It's not only a cancer cure, it's a cancer preventative. Cancer preventative. So, anyway, here's this Japanese doctor, Sugiura. Now, you'd wonder, well, why do they keep him there? Well, this guy is probably still there. He's probably 85 years old, working in his little laboratory over here on laetrile. And they keep him locked up, locked away, out of sight and out of mind, because when he discovered this laetrile over here, it was so good. They said, my God, we can't let this get out. It'll be like chelation. It'll interrupt the stream of money, the money flow coming in here. That's the bottom line, as you'll see here as we progress. So the next thing that happened challenged Moss's personal set of ethics even further. He was told by his superiors, again in no uncertain terms, that he was to fabricate a story to the effect that all studies with laetrile had shown the substance was not at all useful as a cancer treatment. So not only was he not to publish any positive information about laetrile, they came back and said, now we want you to write an article about laetrile, but we want you to write this article in negative form and tell everybody how bad the stuff is. Furthermore, his superiors insisted that he was to write an article, a news release, for all of the major news stations stating that laetrile was worthless as a therapeutic agent in the treatment of cancer. And Moss states that he tried to reason with them and protest their position, but his superiors insisted that he doth protesteth too much. Well, shortly after this, Moss reports everyone at work seemed content not to bring up the subject any further. They just let it slide, which gave Moss time to conduct his own personal investigation into the true facts behind laetrile. His inquisitive mind wanted to know why there was the apparent manipulation of research data and the ensuing cover-up. Who were these people who ran Sloan Kettering, and what might be some of the hidden motivations at work here? So he began keeping a file on the results of his investigations. And as Moss looked deeper into the issues, what he uncovered was very disturbing. The board of directors were predominantly composed of a who's who of investors in the polluting industries, including the petrochemical industry. CEOs of major pharmaceutical companies specializing in cancer drugs dominated the board of directors. The companies represented by the CEOs would have a vested interest in promoting cancer drug therapy, and as many business people act in these times, the board may have found it a bit easier to overlook the positive results of the natural substance laetrile and the treatment of laetril and the treatment quantities of which are present in unpatentable apricot kernels. All right, now see what your problem is there? I just told you the answer. You don't have to go down to Joe the drug dealer, you know, like you do when you go to buy your heroin, cocaine, and marijuana to buy this laetril. You used to. Back in the 70s, laetril was as illegal as heroin. And people were running around buying laetril, buying the stuff from drug dealers. Can you believe that? I can remember that back in the 70s. I kind of laughed and snickered a little bit. Because, listen, you can go down to your supermarket, for crying out loud. It may be the only thing in the supermarket worth buying. And buy just fresh apricots or peaches. And take them home, take a hammer, bust them open. And inside that hard pit, there will be a soft kernel. That's where the laetril is. And you can buy it as a byproduct of the apricots. Now, that stuff is bitter. I mean, I'm telling you, that stuff would gag a maggot at high noon. Now, that's tough stuff to get down, laetril. But you can take it, you know, if you buy berries, fresh berries, and then you blend them, put them in your blender, and blend that up, make yourself a banana smoothie with blackberry or raspberries. And just do that, you know, I don't know if you do it every day or, you know, twice a week, you know, whatever you feel like. And you can get your laetril right out of those seeds. Laetril comes out of seeds. And the berries are high in that laetril, vitamin B17. And it's a lot sweeter and it's a lot easier to take than those apricot and peach kernels. Well, anyway, both the chairman of the board and the president of Bristol-Myers Squibb, the world's largest producer of chemotherapy drugs, held high positions on the Sloan Kettering Board of Directors. Ah, do you catch a conflict of interest here? The very people who are selling chemical drugs out of the pharmaceutical companies are sitting on the board of directors of this cancer research clinic. And along comes this Japanese scientist, this doctor, who discovers laetril, experiments with mice, and says, hey, this stuff shrinks tumors and prevents cancer. Well, my God, you know, if you're running the biggest drug company making anti-cancer drugs, that's the worst news you could hear. I pointed that out the other day. See, this Essiac, my wife just treated her latest round of cancer for about $200. $200. Furthermore, the damn cancer's gone, which is the main purpose for cancer treatment. You know, if my wife had gone to the conventional medical doctors and they gave her chemotherapy and the cancer went away and they charged us $30,000, we'd think it was a good value. Because the objective of cancer therapy is to cure the cancer, which conventional medicine does, remember, 37% of the time. It's that 63% that we're concerned about here. Seven of the nine members of Sloan's powerful institutional policy commission had ties to the pharmaceutical industry. Sloan Kettering itself invested in the stock of these same pharmaceutical companies. Members of the boards of directors of Philip Morris and RJR Nabisco, that's R.J. Reynolds Tobacco, the two largest tobacco companies in the United States, held positions of honor on the board of Sloan Kettering. Six Sloan directors also served on the boards of the New York Times, CBS, Reader's Digest, Warner Communications, and other media giants. So Dr. Moss was very upset by this point. He had long talks with his wife and parents trying to understand what course to take to resolve the perplexing situation. His life had gone from heaven to hell in a matter of days. Kerplunk. Fear for his livelihood and his family's future were at his doorstep. What should he do? Quit his job? Well, his choices were clear. Either one, he would go along to get along, or two, he would resign. He would blow the whistle on the entire shenanigans. So much to his credit, Moss chose door number 3. He blew the whistle big time at a press conference in November of 1977. He informed the press about Memorial Sloan Kettering's suppression of the positive test results with amygdalin and its ability to shrink tumors in animals. The following day, upon his return to work, Moss was escorted from the premises by 2 armed guards without being permitted to remove any of his working files from his office. Fortunately, his wife had kept duplicate copies of the incriminating evidence against Sloan Kettering, backing up Moss's unusual claims against the well-established institution. Now, these are the circumstances which launched Ralph Moss's career as a cancer treatment researcher. The above events happened over 25 years ago, and he's never looked back. It took longer to buy the new home Moss's family had wanted, and the kids attended college on scholarships and loans. Through it all, Moss followed the path with heart, even though it brought financial hardship to him and his family, and scorn from co-workers whose sense of ethics wasn't as well developed as Moss's. Now, Moss courageously made personal sacrifices for the greater good because he realized that the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one. As Star Trek's Mr. Spock put it, society owes people like this a debt of gratitude for their willingness to occupy the controversial and more difficult high moral ground. Others in society who have less vision to see the path themselves can profit by the example set by such courageous thought leaders as Dr. Moss. Now, you know, in our federal government, we have these whistleblowers. They're about as popular as aides at an office Christmas party. And while the official policy is we encourage whistleblowers, every whistleblower gets demoted and stuck in a corner someplace and his career ends. That's the bottom line. Every single one. I don't know of a single exception to that rule. So if you believe for a minute that your government is in favor of whistleblowers and telling the truth, again, you've got your head up the wrong end of your anatomy. And if you think that Sloan Kettering or any other cancer research facility is looking for a cure for cancer, again, your head is up the wrong end of your anatomy. Pay attention. Dr. Moss's credentials. Well, a lot has happened since Moss's early days at Sloan Kettering. He is currently an internationally known medical writer, having written 11 books and 3 documentary films relating to cancer research and treatment. Some of Dr. Moss's books include Cancer Therapy, Antioxidants Against Cancer, Questioning Chemotherapy, and The Cancer Industry. One of his documentaries is the award-winning PBS documentary, The Cancer War. In 1994, he wrote the article on alternative medicine for the Encyclopedia Britannica. Dr. Moss was a founding advisor to the National Institutes of Health's Office of Alternative Medicine and also the NIH Cancer Advisory Panel on Complementary and Alternative Medicine. He currently serves on the National Cancer Institute Advisory Editorial Board of the PDQ system and is an advisor to the National Brain Tumor Foundation, the Susan J. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation, Jefferson University, Columbia University Foundation. What is a Moss report? Well, there are literally thousands of cancer treatments. Some of them are good. Some of them are better than others. Some of them are well publicized but ineffective. You get the picture. Dr. Moss has spent more than 25 years researching one specific subject area, and that's the treatment of cancer. He now provides reports to individuals and their families about treatment possibilities which are specific to their unique and individual situations. So here's an alternative. You come down with cancer. Remember in the the SEAC report we started off, oh my God, you've come back from the doctor. The report is the lump is cancer. All right. Well, now what should be your course of action? Are there alternatives? What about SEAC? What about these other cancer alternatives? Maybe you're actually looking for the chemotherapy route. You know, the medical community, with its 37% success rate, has more to offer than just chemotherapy. There are other modalities of treatment. In fact, there are so many that this guy Moss has made his career out of doing the research in researching the cancer cures. There are so many cancer cures, both under the counter and over the counter, for these many dozens of types of cancer that are only known to doctors, if in fact the doctors even know about them. When we come back from our break, I'm going to give you an illustration of what it is that your doctor doesn't know can kill you when we come back. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the law school and the law hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the webpage at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct, to the best of our knowledge and belief. And the Law Hour, an editorial review, gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are going to reciprocate by recommending us. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we use or cite here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not necessarily entirely endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website, georgegordon.org. Or you can call the school direct at 417-273-4967. Now, I need to give you a couple of reminders here. In addition to that, I've had a number of inquiries about conducting a tax and status school down in Austin, Texas, so we're looking for students for that class. If you're one of those that called us here at the law school indicating an interest, please call us back and tell us that you're interested. The number 417-273-4967. If you're brand new, never thought of the idea before, contact us here at the law school and let us give you some information about a hands-on personal five-day school on the income tax and status in Austin, Texas. And then let me give you a final reminder on this book here called the SEAC Report. It's put out by a fellow named Richard Thomas. And the company, the Alternative Treatment Information Network, also known as ATIN, at 1244 Ozeta Terrace, O-Z-E-T-A Terrace, Los Angeles, California, 90069. And they've got a phone there. It's 310-278-6611. Again, that's the ATIN, the Alternative Treatment Information Network, located at 1244 Ozeta Terrace, Los Angeles, California, 90069. The phone number, 310-278-6611. I haven't got a clue as to what the book costs. It may also be available in your local health food store. Oftentimes, if you go into the health food store and you say, hey, listen, I'd like to get the SEAC report by Richard Thomas. Hell, they probably got it on their book rack. Just walk over and pick one up. A number of books that I review here are health food type books or health food store type books, like Mendelsohn's books, remember, on the Confessions of a Medical Heretic, or How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Pediatrician. Some of these insider type books written, again, by medical doctors. You know, the greatest source of information is right from the horse's mouth. And that's where this guy Moss is coming from. He got it right out of Sloan Kettering. He's just reporting the facts to you. Now, you know, if you want to go the conventional route, you know, get after it. And this guy Moss has got his finger on the pulse of the latest and greatest of the conventional medical doctors' reports and research. But I wanted to bring to your attention an article here called Saving Cancer Patients' Lives. Disease prevention and treatment reveal startling information about therapies that are not being used routinely in the clinical setting. For instance, if you're a cancer patient recovering from surgery, morphine is likely to be prescribed to relieve your surgical wound pain. The problem with morphine is that it imparts immune function and induces angiogenesis, which promotes cancer metastasis. Studies have shown that cancer patients given morphine are more likely to see their cancer spread to other areas of their bodies than patients that are not given morphine. Now, why is that? Why would your doctor recommend morphine when there are a number of other analgesic drugs that could be used in its place? And it's because your doctor probably doesn't know that morphine causes the spread of cancer, because he has, you know, 100 patients to see in his 8 hours at the office. He has his golf game. He has his own business at home. He has his home and family life. He's got other things to do. There is so much knowledge out there that 90% of all of the scientists that have ever drawn breath on the planet are alive today. And they're all working and they're all producing new information. Much of this information goes on to the internet. So how do you, you know, you're Joe Sixpack driving your truck for Walmart, you know, and you're doing your thing. And one of these days, you're going to go to the doctor. And then your doctor is going to come back and say, well, Joe, you've got cancer. Joe Sixpack, you got cancer. Or Sally Soccer Mom, you got breast cancer. And then you're going to hit the panic switch. And you're going, oh my God, I got a death sentence. Well, if you'd sit back and relax and go to this Moss report, it's designed just exactly for this kind of situation. You see, the average guy listening to me right now, you're not going to go out here and get the SEAC report, and you're not going to go get the Moss report or do jack diddly squat. This is an interesting story, and you've been entertained driving down the highway. You can light up another cigarette and say, "God, that was really interesting. I'll tell the wife when I get home." Maybe over the dinner table you say, "My God, did you know that Sloan Kettering is staffed by the pharmaceutical people on their board of directors, and that's why you don't have a cancer cure?" And that's interesting. It titillates the senses. It doesn't help you do jack diddly squat in the final analysis, but it's titillating. It's kind of interesting. Now, one of these days, because 50% of you listening to me right now, 50%, one out of two, every other one, is going to come down with cancer in your lifetime. So that's a big bunch of you listening to me right now. You're going to get cancer. We have it here in our family. We deal with it very, very easily. We've been dealing with it now for 30 years now. So when my wife comes in with an egg-sized tumor in her right breast, we don't hit the panic switch and run out and have it cut off. If we'd have done that, it would have been cut off 16 times in the past. No, she's still got it. Still got it, and she hopes to die with it, hanging right there on her chest where it belongs. So when this comes up, you need help fast. You got to have answers. And so the best way to do that is to know where to go to get the answers, and this Ralph Moss has a webpage. He's got a site, and he specializes in putting information into the hands of Joe Sixpacks and Sally Soccer Moms, as well as doctors and anybody else that's interested, but mainly us lay people, so that you can get to the bottom of your cancer and select the best possible cancer therapy for you. Because, see, you may have a mental block against these alternative cancer therapies. And I know a lot of people that are like that. You know, they look at you like, "You got to be out of your cotton-picking mind." But you want to keep in mind that even your oncologist, even the guy who is a cancer specialist, is not going to be alerted to the very latest, up-to-the-minute cancer therapies and techniques from doctors and clinics from China, the Philippines, or Japan. He just isn't. And this guy, Ralph Moss, is. So instead of being in the 37% that are the cancer survivors, you may find yourself in that 63% that are going to die. And when that comes up, you know you're going to feel real depressed. Then you need to know that there is still some hope out there. But I wanted to encourage you, before you destroy your immune system, why don't you investigate and find out what therapies are available to you? And remember, all of these therapies, virtually all of them, come from the medical establishment. So I'm not sitting here throwing rocks at medical doctors. I'm a reporter. I'm reporting that Laetril came from the medical doctors. Chelation came from the medical doctors. The reason that they suppress it is because it interferes with their revenue stream. But there is another source out here, Dr. Moss, who comes up and he says, "Hey, listen, if you want to go the conventional route, here's the best of chemotherapy, antioxidants, and other treatments that come out of the medical profession. Now, if you really want to live, then here are the best of the alternative therapies." And I want to point out to you that not all of these alternative therapies are for every type of cancer. For instance, You know, if you've got a skin cancer, I would, you know, and I'm just a lay person, I can't recommend and I can't diagnose and treat, so you don't want to listen to George Gordon. You want to go to some guy that knows what he's talking about, which is why I'm suggesting that you pick up these books, you know, like the ESIAC report or the Moss report, so that you can go right to the horse's mouth and you can get the information that you want, whether it's alternative or whether it's mainstream. All right, now going on. What is a Moss report? Well, there are literally thousands of cancer treatments, some good, some better than others, some well-publicized but ineffective. Dr. Moss has spent 25 years of research in one specific subject area, and that is cancer treatment. He now provides reports to individuals and their families about treatment possibilities which are specific to their unique individual cancer condition. Each Moss report provides the client with a specialized discussion of one out of some 200 different types of cancers. It includes his top recommendations on the best alternative and complementary treatments from around the world, as well as conventional therapies which may be applicable. All material is continually updated, and for that reason, individual reports are printed only after an order is received. Moss continued research focuses on the following areas: finding the best cancer doctors, finding effective alternative treatments, experimental conventional treatments, strengthening the immune system, herbs and supplements, cancer clinics in Europe, cancer clinics in Mexico, HMOs and reimbursement, detoxification from environmental pollutants, the most effective anti-cancer foods and drinks, mind-body medicine, spirituality and healing, spontaneous remission, reducing side effects, controlling pain and fatigue, finding inspiration, and reversing depression. Now, those are the subject matters that he covers in his reports. Notice here, cancer clinics in Europe and Mexico. Hey, listen, maybe you're not up to dealing with your cancer. Maybe you need to go someplace to a clinic and have them deal with it. Okay, so the Moss report says, well, here's the clinic in Tijuana. Here's the clinic in Guadalajara. Here's the clinic in Zurich, Switzerland. You know, it's up to you. We here at the law school, we don't have that kind of money to throw around, so we have to do it kind of on the cheap. So when we get cancer here, we got to take care of it ourselves. But hey, listen, you know, you may need a hip transplant. Or is that what they call it, a transplant? No, it's a hip replacement surgery. It's not a transplant. But anyway, you know that that hip replacement surgery is $30,000 here in the United States. It can be done for $8,000 in New Delhi, India. $8,000. And they say that the treatment and the results out of India is as good as or better than anything you can get here in the States. And that's because the doctors who are going to do this for you in India are working in the latest state-of-the-art medical facilities built specifically to treat Americans. You see, the average Indian, he couldn't afford $8,000 for a hip transplant anyway. But Americans can. And they're designed to offshore these medical marvels to another country with a cheaper base to operate from. So if you're thinking about hip replacement surgery or something on that order, maybe even bypass surgery, instead of $100,000 here in the States, you might be, you know, assuming you don't have insurance. I mean, hell, if you got insurance, you might as well go down the street. But if, you know, you're like me and you don't have insurance and you needed this hip replacement surgery or a coronary bypass, you might want to go to India to have that done. And there's not something to be snickered at. You ought to look into it. Now, Moss points out that he's seen too many people in last-minute desperate situations going through an expensive and time-consuming process of trial and error. And this is one of the main reasons that he decided to produce the reports. So armed with a Moss report in hand, a person is ready to get down to the business of reviewing what's really important and not wasting time trying to sort out the wheat from the chaff. Now, science sometimes moves quickly, and medical breakthroughs can happen overnight. And because of this, Moss has included with the report a monthly phone message in a members-only area on his webpage. Now, if and when the moment may come that you or a loved one is told a piece of unpleasant news, such as being diagnosed with cancer, it's difficult just to think clear-headed, let alone beginning a comprehensive research project. Furthermore, some cancers are fast-growing, and unless you're a very fast reader, it would seem prudent to consider letting one of the world's top alternative cancer treatment experts help fill in the gap of knowledge, which otherwise would take most people years to complete. Remember, when you get this cancer diagnosis, you may only have weeks or months. Oftentimes, you know, they told my wife in 78, you're down to 6 months, maybe as little as three. You know, when you've only got 3 to 6 months, you don't have time to dink around. You got to get to acting. You got to get a move on. I mean, if you want to live, if you want to commit suicide, take your time. If any subject area or in any subject area, it's difficult to become an overnight expert unless perchance you have skills such as Dr. Data on Star Trek. Well, Dr. Moss believes that when it comes to cancer treatments, every idea deserves to be looked at with an objective eye, no matter how unusual the treatment may seem on the face of it. This is not the common approach of the typical cancer researcher, who is often biased in one direction or the other, usually toward money. Moss points out that one seldom knows from which direction an important discovery will come, and that many scientific breakthroughs of the past were ridiculed when they were first introduced. You know, this ESIAC thing was ridiculed and impugned. Dr. Fisher said he was skeptical. Dr. Bursch, you know, also said, you know, well, let's take a look at it. I've heard a lot of good reports, but let's investigate. Now, there are a lot of medical doctors that have an open mind. I told you about Dr. Lester. You know, he got into alternative therapies because so many of his patients that he was treating with conventional medicine were dying on him. He felt bad about that and said, geez, there must be something I can do. This Dr. Moss doing the same thing. Rene Cassie, Dr. Fisher. Many of the names that we've been using this week in this report are medical doctors with a conscience, who have a mission in life to save their patients' lives, to do good. Then, of course, they're caught up in the American Medical Association and the drug and pharmaceutical companies and the chemical industry, whose motivation is drugs for profit. And then they find out, like this Dr. Moss did, that, hey, you're being told now, suppress this remedy because that doesn't make us enough money. We're not interested in that remedy, and we want you to rat hole that one. And this remedy over here, we want you to go out and extol that one. Go out and write good, glowing articles about it. Now, in each Moss report, there's information on treatment methods tailored to the specific cancer diagnosis in question. In addition, the following are some of the general areas covered. How to determine whether chemotherapy will work before starting treatment. How to have chemotherapy custom tailored to the patient, often cutting the dosage dramatically and increasing the effectiveness. And how to choose the best alternative therapies available here in the United States, and how to legally import otherwise illegal drugs and other medicines, which Mexican clinics you should focus on and which ones you should avoid, what important question must be asked about clinical trials, and using breakthrough nutritionals to enhance immune function. And how to avoid scams in the alternative medical field, which there are many. And which herbs and herbal brands are best. And how to control cancer-related pain and avoid symptoms such as nausea, vomiting, gastric problems, and mouth sores, rashes. How to use the best resources on the internet. What are the most successful European clinics and the ones that are more hype than results? How to detoxify your home, workplace, and your body? How to protect yourself against infection? How to locate and get the most from support groups? And what course of action to take when your doctors disagree? How to create an effective yet delicious antioxidant-rich food plan? How to successfully obtain all of your medical records? How to obtain reimbursement from your HMO? How to obtain financial aid for cancer-related expenses? And how to avoid medical errors? When to request a second or a third opinion, and how to know when it's appropriate to seek alternatives. When and if to have your tonsils and mercury fillings removed, and how to locate open-minded oncologists. Did you catch that last one? How to locate an open-minded oncologist. Now, there are a lot of medical doctors out there that know about these alternative therapies. They're not going to suggest it to you, but if you suggest it to him and say, I'm really interested in Essiac, I'm really interested in Laetrile, do you know anything about that? He may say, oh, yes, I've got the Moss report. Oh, you've got the Moss report. Now you've opened the door. Now your oncologist may say to you, listen, yeah, we can treat this cancer very effectively. But if you don't open the conversation, you got to remember that that oncologist, he expects you to be an undercover agent coming into his office from the Food and Drug Administration seeking to sting him. Especially if the FDA gets wind of the fact that he's using any form of alternative therapies. Okay, now ordering information. A Moss report comes on 8.5 by 11 bound format with over 100 pages of his best research information on the specific condition or diagnosis requested, including treatment options. Each person who orders a report has access to Dr. Moss's monthly telephone update, as well as the members area of his website. The total cost in U.S. dollars is $279 to order. You call 800-980-1234. Again, that's 1-800-980-1234. Now, that's the Moss report. Dr. Moss's office phone number is 814-238-3369. Again, that's 814-238-3369. Now, there's a lot more to the story, and I'm about out of time. I just wanted to share with you this cancer story because so many people have cancer. And 50% of us are going to get it. So whether you've got it or you're going to get it, at some point in time, you're going to be faced with the decision, what am I going to do about this? And so, as a reporter, my job is to give you alternatives, give you information. What you do with it's your business in life. I don't care whether you go get chemotherapy, go have your left tit cut off, or you don't. It's not my business. But it is my business to delineate information, to give you the best available sources of information to go to or to work through, and that's what we've done here. Remember now the SEAC report, the SEAC report, remember, comes from the Alternative Treatment Information Network, 1244 Ozita Terrace, Los Angeles, California, 90069. 90069 is the zip, and it's 310 is the phone number, 278-6611, 6611. And then there's the story on the SEAC report. Well, we're about out of time. Let me give you a final reminder that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school and is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Our time is up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.